I invite you also to hear these words that come to us from the first chapter of James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all rank, of all sordidness and rank of growth of wickedness. And welcome with meekness the implanted word that has power to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in the mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. May the Lord our God bless the reading, the hearing, and the living, the doing of these words. Amen.
On a Sunday morning just like today, Leonard Sweet started his sermon in this way. Okay, folks, why are you here? Why did you come to church this morning? What made you voluntarily choose to spend one of the last summer Sundays before the too busy, too crowded Labor Day weekend inside a church? Why aren't you laying on a beach somewhere? Oh, well, okay, or maybe you will be later this afternoon or off for a drive or whatever. Why aren't you? Maybe you are here out of habit. Maybe going to church is what you do on Sunday morning. Maybe you're here because your parents dragged you into the car, kicking and screaming, and you would rather be anywhere else. Maybe you're here because you are lonely. Maybe you're here because you feel something is wrong and missing in your life. Maybe you are here hoping that something in here will make you different in here. Now, none of these are bad reasons for coming to church on a sunny August Sunday. Nope, not even being dragged into the car and brought by your parents. But there's a reason we Christians gather for worship week after week. We worship to wake up. We worship to come alive and take notice of the presence and the power of God in the world, in our lives, in everything we see and do and touch and feel. The Latin religare, and I got C minuses in Latin in high school, from which we get our word religion, has the root lig, which scholars have traced back partly to meaning pay attention. Now, any religious service, any religious act should make us sit up, shake our heads, and focus in on the divine. When our lives adhere to a set schedule of work, when everyday routines can be acted out without even thinking about them, we lose consciousness to the wonders that are around us. The wonder of God's creation, the wonder of love, the wonder of family, the wonder of breathing in and out, the wonder of life, We should wake up and focus upon the divine. C.K. Chesterton wrote, "The world shall perish not for the lack of wonders, but for the lack of wonder." Let me say it again. "The world shall perish not for the lack of wonders, but for the lack of wonder." This morning, scripture comes from the book of James, an epistle sometimes ignored and not always held in very high esteem, but a letter of great significance, particularly around the issue of Christian behavior. The letter is a general letter, as opposed to the letters of Paul that have tended to be to specific churches or persons. James writes about right behavior. The symbolic world is found in the Torah. James has a positive view of the law, not as a set of ritualistic obligations, but rather as moral commandment. This is expressed most perfectly by what he calls the law of the kingdom or the royal law, love of neighbor. James writes that life is fundamentally covenantal and relational. He has harsh condemnation for those who desire self-aggrandizement that leads to oppress and defraud others. James is about community. One scholar wrote, "James is a communitarian rather than an individualistic. He is against every form of self-assertion that seeks advantage at the expense of another. James calls for attitudes of solidarity, mercy, and compassion. James calls for a community that rallies around the sick and sinful in order to heal and save them." James is a Christian writing that does not have a lot of usual themes about Jesus. The name of Jesus is mentioned only twice in the book of James. Characteristic themes absent include earthly life of Jesus, miracles, death, and resurrection, baptism, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord's Supper. But it's clear in his writing that he is part of a messianic movement, and with it a sense of inheritance, according to promise of belonging to a kingdom proclaimed by Jesus, and of a life normed by faith and love. Where James shines is his understanding of the nature and activity of God. God is one. God is living. God who makes even demons believe. God is constant and without change. God has nothing to do with evil or human anger. And God is creator of all. God has given birth to humans so that they are the first fruits of all creation. God is defined by the giving of gifts, especially those of mercy and compassion. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. And God is the source of all reality, giver of every good and perfect gift, who calls humans into life shaped according to the gifts given them and a community of mutual gift-giving and support rather than of rivalry and competition. James' understanding of God leads to a reality that is measured by God's gifts rather than possessions, and that leads to life lived in cooperation and peace. True religion includes the visiting of orphans and widows, hears the cries of the oppressed, raises up the sick, listens to prayer made in faith, and forgives sins. What a word, what a message in the days in which we live, where it seems that so much of the world around us is counter to this message and understanding of God and God's works in the world. All that is said lays the foundation and knowledge to help us look at this morning's lessons, for we see in our lesson two religious philosophies that influence James' faith. The first is a Greek influence. For the Greeks, ever being has its origins from the highest being. The highest being has many names, one being the light. Beings are on a hierarchy, and the higher on the ladder, the more light is received from the highest being. James, calling God the Father of light, reveals to us this Greek influence that every life-giving gift comes from the source of the light. God gives us the gift of life and all the gifts that come with that. We praise God in this way in the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above the heavenly host, Creator, Savior, Holy Ghost. All blessings flow from God to us. Now, in the second part of our passage this morning, the Jewish influence shows through particularly when James is writing about being doers of the word. Remember, James viewed the law through the lens of the commandment, love your neighbor. James believed that you have received these blessings from God and now you are to use them. You are to do more than just receive the blessings. You are to do more than just to hear the word of God, the message of Jesus. You are to do something with those blessings. For James, being a Christian is all about being a doer. Almost all of us know what that it means to be a doer. I mean, as I talked with the children this morning, with the what ifs, and the responses they would hope would be most helpful, at some time in our lives, we are or have been a doer. Harry Emerson Fosdick observed, "Those who reflect upon their lives and conclude that they have received far less than they deserve tend to be among those to whom no great living comes. Others evaluate their lives, think they have broken about even, and conclude that they've got about what they earned. Rarely do you see any exceptional living from them either. However, those who readily reckon they have received far more than they deserve are among those who do indulge in great living." We all know those folks. Folks whose faith is so mature and grounded. Folks whose lives seem to be all about helping others. Folk who always seem to be aware when there is someone in need or something to do. Folks who are doers of the word, who do not ask or expect recognition for what they do, who demonstrate the abundance of blessing they have received from God by showering those blessings upon others, who understand that the smallest blessing is as mighty as the grandest gesture. When we look in the mirror, do we see a person who knows the full extent of the blessings God gives us? A person who is willing to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Amen.